Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
That's what they say.
Sports
Radio
101.9 FM.
The Fan. WFAN. Yes, sir. 203. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Monday morning. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Me and Fliegelman got you till 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. I hope everybody had a great weekend. And we know you Ranger fans did not. And we will get to the baseball as the Mets finish off that 10-game homestand I told you that was so important. Well, we'll get to it later and how important I think it was. And then, of course, the New York Yankees are the best team in baseball. They're unstoppable. Soto, Judge, it's just a pleasure every single day. We'll get to that, too. But we got to start with the end of the Garden Party. It is now official. The Knicks bow out against the Pacers in the second round. And the Rangers fall to the Florida Panthers in the Eastern Conference Final in six. And I feel the same way about both of them. Are they different? Of course they are. Are there different things about both those teams and different ways to look at it? Anytime you end a series and end a season, and especially one as positive as the Rangers, right? Well, what a great year they had from the jump. The first 20 games of the season were incredible, and they got off to this great start, and Panarin, you know, changed the dynamic of always looking to make plays. Instead, started shooting more, got more goals. You know, Igor at times up and down, but then really in the second half of the season, just typical best goalie in the league, Igor. And they win the President's Trophy. They sweep the first round. They take care of Carolina. And ultimately, they were beat by a better team who went to the... Blah! I'm sorry. I will not take the path of what a positive season. And hey, just a little bit here or there. And, you know, this team could possibly, you know, figure something out. No, I am frustrated. And I am annoyed. And pissed off by the New York Rangers. Because heading into this, when you win the President's Trophy, you're going to have a hard time telling me someone's just flat out better. And then two, there's only one thing to do. There's only one successful way. This is not a team that's come out of nowhere. This is not a team that's in year one or two of a build. This is a team that was complete. This is a team that sure had flaws. Every team has flaws. But this is a team that won the President's Trophy, that was led the division wire to wire, held off the Carolina Hurricanes, held off the Florida Panthers as far as the President's Trophy goes, and had home ice throughout the entire postseason, and didn't show up and lost the last three games. And had a 2-1 lead and lost 3 straight games to the Carolina Panthers. To the Florida Panthers. A team that, yes, is very good. Yes, has now made back-to-back Stanley Cup appearances. Yes, is tough. Yes, is big. Yes, knows how to win in the postseason. And there it is. Because, yes, Game 6 wasn't the disaster that Games 3 and 4 were, even though you got a win in Game 3. It wasn't they were overrun, they were overplayed, it was just they got their asses kicked. No, They were slightly better than that, and it was a game. And yet this offense could still not muster anything. Anything. And I'm supposed to sit back today and say, hey, well, they tried their darndest, and they gave a good effort in Game 6, and it was a lot better than it was in the other two games in Florida. And, hey, just a couple tweaks here. Hey, you know, look, I saw one thing on social media about, well, if you look at Tampa Bay, right, the year they lost before in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they had the President's Trophy, and they got swept in the first round. And then from that point on, they made some changes, and they won back-to-back cups. I'm sorry. When I watch this team and we see the stars and they have the best goalie in the league playing like the best goalie in the league, and we've seen this for years with Hank, right? Whether he was the best goalie in the league at any one given time, but for years, the guy's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest players to ever wear a Ranger uniform. And year after year, it'd be the same thing, losing these tight, close games, and you felt like you wasted Hank. Well, they're wasting Igor right now with these stars who don't have it. And I'm sorry, I love Panarin. And I've compared him and the impact he's had on this Ranger team to Jalen Brunson and the impact he's had on this Knick team. And he was terrific, and he should have been a finalist for the Hart Trophy and all that. But here's the fact of the matter. This is not a one-year thing. The stars of the New York Rangers do not play the level of hockey needed to win the Stanley Cup. Plain and simple. And for a GM in Chris Drury, who's made dramatic changes and quick changes and got rid of Gallant and made quick moves and decisive moves since he's been here, has to look at the core of this team. And I understand they're under long-term contracts. And I understand that maybe options are limited, but ultimately, I'm sorry. I know at the trade deadline he could have done more. I know they were looking for another top winger to go with that top line that was struggling to find a way during this postseason to get that third player on that line with Kreider and Zibanejad, to get someone to help them make plays, and they were shuffling that line the entire postseason. I understand that they ended up getting more of a role player as opposed to a top line player, and if they get that, I'm sorry. This team couldn't sniff a goal. This team had zero offensive production. This team, they score that goal in the first period of Game 6, and it feels over. How could they ever muster a goal? And then forget it when they fall behind two. The fact of the matter is when it comes down to it, as great a regular season as this was, as much fun as it was to watch them on a nightly basis, as much as they continued to come back and fight like they did in the regular season, more and won more come-from-behind games than any team in NHL history, and as much as they didn't have long losing streaks, and as great as they were and as powerful as they were and as skilled as they are, when they face a big, strong, tougher team in these postseason series, in this playoffs, they are not good enough, and their stars are not good enough. I know Panarin gets the goal late in the game. He's had zero impact on this series. Zero. And you know what? Unfairly so, and I said the same thing during that. I don't want to hear they stole games against Carolina. I don't want to hear that they got lucky and that they were, being benefited by the great goalie play and the early power play dominance. I didn't want to hear that. But you know what? Now when you look back on it, now that I'm frustrated, they've lost and they're out and they didn't make it to a Stanley Cup Finals. You know what? They were dominated a lot of the Carolina series too. Then they managed to get through that series on overtime goals and great play from Igor Shesterkin, who continued to play great through the postseason. But ultimately, when you look at this team, I do not believe that they are tweaks away. I don't know how many years you can do it. I don't know how many years you can rely on your top players and watch them come up small and watch Panarin disappear in these postseasons. Disappear. And I understand he played well against Washington. I understand he had some goal game winners. But for the most part, you cannot expect your team to win when your best player has zero impact on a series. And this is not once. This is not twice. This is every time he's been in the playoffs with the New York Rangers, when it matters most, when the series gets tough, when the defense gets tough, when they decide they want to shut him down, they can shut him down. And enough. I understand how good Florida is, and I understand the kind of hockey that they played. That doesn't excuse these top players for not having an impact. I don't care. What other sport do we allow? What other team around here do we allow them to show up flat and not do anything, the stars of our teams? What other sport do we allow and go, hey, well, listen, what are you going to do? They played them the way you can play them, and that's just it. We don't expect anyone to come through. I mean, listen, Judge gets killed, and we're going to get more into Judge. I bring up Judge and how great he is. My responses are flooded with, let's see him do it in the playoffs. Let's see him do it in the playoffs. He gets booed in the playoffs. Nobody goes, well, the Astros know how to pitch him. What are you going to do? Astros are a really good pitching team. They pitched them great. I mean, where else do we give 100% of the credit to the other team instead of saying, I'm sorry, you have to be better. He has to be better. Zibanejad and Kreider had to be better. They had very little to zero impact on this series. And I was waiting. Because all year long they showed it, especially Panarin. But this team in general, the resilience, and it wasn't there. And yes, they were better in Game 6, and that was the best game they played in Florida out of the three. But ultimately, they could muster nothing. Nothing. And I understand these are tight games, and Igor was great, and Florida kind of played a different game once it got the lead. And we don't have to break down the game. It was a couple days ago. But the fact of the matter is, as you look at this Ranger team, if not now, when? And if I understand at the deadline you could have got some more. And I understand there's always tweaks you can make to a team. But when do we stop believing in this main core group? I don't know how long, how many years, how many times we could see the same thing before you have to question whether or not this group is capable of playing the brand of hockey it takes come playoff time. And this is exactly what everybody said. And that's what I hate about it. What's frustrating the most is that maybe I was blinded by it, some Ranger fans were blinded by it, and maybe overall they were talented enough where you thought they could get through. But ultimately, everybody, all of their critics, anyone who questioned them, anyone who had doubts about this team and their 5-on-5 scoring ability and the toughness and all the reason why, yes, I know they're the President Trophy winner, but they're underdogs to Carolina and they're underdogs to Florida. And it's because they're not tough enough. Oh, and you have to throw Rempe out there like he's going to somehow magically change the dynamic of what this team is physically. After one period against the Florida Panthers, Mark Messier, the captain of the 94 team, the last team to win a Stanley Cup, within a period, he's telling you, oh, Matt Rempe's got to be out there. Within a period of playing this Florida team, it was that obvious that the physical nature of Florida and the way they play hockey was going to be too much and they needed to throw out some kind of miracle like Paul Bunyan and Matt Rempe. And once you realize that Paul Bunyan left his Blue Ox at home and he only plays 3 minutes and it's worthless, you found out this team wasn't going to be good enough. And that's it. Looking forward at this hockey team, I no longer have faith no matter what comes, no matter what next season looks like. If they are going to rely on Panarin, Zibanejad, and even Chris Kreider, and Trocheck, and Trouba, who was awful in this series, the best players on this team didn't come to play. And now it's multiple years with this. And I wish I could tell you, many Knicks fans came out and told you, and I felt differently about that too. I understand the injuries. And this is slightly different. They just, didn't have any more. And their stars, kind of did play very well up until the point where they just couldn't do it anymore. And then you lost Brunson in the final, moments, minutes of game 7 against the Pacers. But Both teams, disappointing. The Rangers even more so, because they were there. They did have their team there. They were fairly healthy. I understand Fox is on one leg. But the fact of the matter is, when the Panthers decided to play playoff hockey, the Rangers weren't able to match it. And if it weren't for a heroic and Herculean effort from Chris Kreider in Game 6, the third period of Game 6 against Carolina, I don't know if they make that series. I don't know how else you can view this other than questioning everything about this team. I don't know how else. I don't know how a Ranger fan can sit back, look at this team again, and say, well, if they could just add this, if they just had that, it was a really positive season. They played extremely well. I mean, the Florida Panthers are really good, and they're probably going to be the favorite to beat Edmonton in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, what are you going to do? You faced a better team. You can't say that when you are the President's Trophy winner. You can't say that when you led that division wire to wire. And you can't say that when your stars didn't play their game. It would be one thing if Panarin was great and they couldn't do it. Igor was the only player on this team that was a leader on this team, one of the best players on this team. He's the only one who showed up. The only one. You want to give me, Vincent Trocheck? Okay, he was pretty good in the series. That's about it. Lafreniere, okay, but he's not a guy you were relying on heading into this year. He's not who you count on. He's not the guy you can't live without. Goodrow, he's not a guy you can't live without. The guys you can't live without, they tried to live without them because they weren't there, and it proved you can't live without them. And now moving forward, can you go again into next year with these guys being the core of your team, these guys being the guy you rely on? I said at the beginning of the series, if that's what happened, you'd have to question, and here we are. I don't know how you don't. It's a frustrating end to a ultimately massive failure of a season. And you can tell, and maybe in a few weeks I'll feel different, right? Maybe when they start up again in September, I'll look back and go, hey, that was a really good year. Right now, they got out-toughed. I mean, it's clear as day. They wanted it more than the Rangers. You can tell me that in Game 6 they showed up and that they played tougher and that they did play better and that they had a good run of it in the second period, probably, their best period of the entire series, and played really well, and it was different than the other two games in Florida. Fine, that's true. But still, every loose puck, where are the scoring chances? Where is nothing in front of the net? Nothing changed. The power play did nothing. Panarin did nothing. Zibanejad did nothing. Kreider did nothing. The entire series. And I don't want to hear that the Florida Panthers were just a juggernaut, because you know what? The Rangers were supposed to be as good as anybody. And they weren't. And as far as I'm concerned, it's back to the drawing board. Now, if they're going to bring in other superstars, I mean, we'll find out. But here's the fact of the matter is, those three players, and I understand what Kreider did in Game 6 of the Carolina series. I do. But Panarin and Zibanejad cannot be the guys you rely on to score goals in the playoffs any longer. I don't know how you can make it such. I don't know how you can convince yourself otherwise. It's a failure of a season. They failed the Rangers. And it doesn't matter with the coach. And remember, I just saw a clip, too, about Gallant talking about talent. And talent's great, sure, but you need to play as a cohesive unit. You got to play the kind of game that is played in these NHL playoffs. And the Rangers, as currently constructed, do not have it in them. And that's a harsh reality to come to terms with, but we just saw it play out over 6 games, and particularly the last 3. The last 3, including one at home, where the Rangers stood no chance in this series. Let's be honest, they didn't. They were outplayed at every turn. And you might be able to kid yourself that, hey, Florida's really good, and what are you going to do? I won't. I'm pissed. I'm disappointed. It's a frustrating season. It's a terrible end. And it's a team I no longer will believe in. Not anymore. How many years? I can't do it anymore. 222, Mick Monagle here with you. We'll get to the baseball as the Yankees are a dominant force. And I'll tell you exactly why I believe what I said I would believe heading into this 10-game home stand for the Mets and how the end proves me right.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 227, McMonagle here with you. Still frustrated by the New York Rangers. It hasn't hit me yet where, it was a good season and they got beat by a better team and that kind of, it just drives me nuts. And then, at the end of the game, I put out a tweet, not good enough, didn't want it enough, major changes needed. I think major changes are needed because they're good enough to win regular season and score some goals, but when it comes down to it, and one of the responses was, Panarin, you're getting too hard on Panarin. Panarin needs space to play, and the Panthers didn't give him any space. Well, okay, that's great. I get that. How do you move forward and try and win a Stanley Cup when your best player can get taken out of a series when you take away his space? I guess the point is the Florida Panthers are the one team capable of taking away his space. Well, he didn't do much against Carolina either. He didn't do anything last year against the Devils. I guess they were able to take away space. Who else? Who else has limited Panarin's space? You cannot rely, no matter how many goals he scores over the regular season, you cannot move forward with your best player. You cannot feel confident in winning a Stanley Cup when the guy you need to be at the best of his ability and help carry you, if he could be so easily taken out of a series by taking away his space. I understand the comment. I understand how he plays. I understand he needs the space to be creative and playmaking, and what he's able to get over the course of the 82 games is the space required to get all that, and that's fine. But you can't tell me, what are you going to do? Florida played great against him. That's it. Well, then, if he could just, what are we talking about? Then he's not a great player. Plain and simple. It's really quite easy. Great players, they have bad series now and then. Judge is a great player. He's had bad series. Everyone's had bad series. But, little to no impact. Little to no impact. And this is not the first time. Well, they took away his space. All right, they took away his space. So how do they create space for him? Because they couldn't figure out how to do it in this series. And they couldn't figure out how to do it last year against the Devils. And I don't know how they'll figure out how to get him enough space next year. The stars of this team aren't good enough. I mean, it's plain to see. The best players on Florida outplayed the best players on the Rangers by a mile. And even though they had a great goalie who stood on his head and did everything you could possibly ask from a goalie, it's not enough. Let's get to the calls. Anthony in Arizona. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm devastated, Chris. Let's start there.
I am, too. I think, again, I don't want to let the social media or whatever, but even some of the Ranger fans I've talked to, like I think too many Ranger fans, much like the Knicks, and that's even more understandable in their circumstances, but too many Ranger fans
100%.
Seem to already want to be, well, listen, it was a great year, just a few tweaks, we're right there. Like, what are we talking about?
It wasn't a good year. It wasn't a good year.
No, it's not a good year.
I'm a 31-year-old Ranger fan. I work nights on the West Coast, so when it's game night, I shut down my phone, completely black out. My wife is a saint. She gets me all set up after the game, after work to watch the game. I have nothing. I'm watching the game, and as I hear Sam Rosen late in the third, it's the commercials, and they play Sam Rosen from the 94 saying, and this one will last a lifetime.
Yeah.
All I'm thinking is I am 31 years old. This better not last my lifetime because I was 1 year old.
Right.
I didn't see anything. I didn't experience anything. And right. I agree with you for the most part about everything that you're saying about these guys. The only thing I disagree is it's not that they're not talented enough. Our best players don't play the game that they need to play to create that space. Every time Zibanejad, Kreider, Panarin, they got the puck in the neutral zone. The first thing they did was they picked their head up and they looked east or they looked west to move the puck to the next guy. None of those guys wanted to come up the zone with speed and skate it in and create. They were all, I don't want to say scared. Panarin definitely was a little gun shy for when he touched the puck. But the other guys, they didn't want to push the pace. And Zibanejad and Kreider need to push the pace if we want to be good. I did see your tweet. Do we need major changes? So then I ask you, what is the changes? Do you get rid of 120 points from Panarin? Because we still have the goalie. We still have Fox, who's 26 years old or so, 27 years old. Who is a building block going forward. There is still talent. If you make major changes, are we blowing it up? Because I still believe we have a window. I'm like you. I don't know if this team can win.
Well, that's the thing.
Play the game.
Yeah. When I say major changes needed, yes, I understand that, you know, right now you're not going to get rid of Panarin necessarily, but I can no longer count on him to be the guy. Like, that's the major
100%.
That's the major change. Like, I don't know how, you know, they have to figure out something where they don't have to rely on him as much. And I understand Zibanejad's contract. But, yeah, go ahead.
For me, I've said this for years. I don't think – I love Chris Kreider. Me and my brother argue all the time. He wants me to put his name above the paint. Put his jersey above the paint in the rafters. I get it.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
It will be.
He scored my favorite goal. He's awesome. Love him. He is not a first-line player. And we could call that the second line because the first line is Trocheck, Panarin, and Lafreniere. Right. Anyway, you cut it up. That is the better line.
Yep.
But he is not a top six player. He has no creativity. He does nothing to make Zibanejad better. And put him on the special teams where he's great in front of the net, tipping pucks, and he's a great penalty killer. But as far as 5-on-5, he does nothing for years.
Yeah.
And he's 32 years old. We're not getting anything for him. We're not getting anything for a 31-year-old Zibanejad.
No.
Well, and to me, we need Lafreniere on the power play. He is our best player. When he is not our best player, that's an exaggeration. I'm sorry, I'm a little fired up.
Yeah,
but when
you.
He is going, he is a playoff player. He finishes every check. That matters. That matters. He finishes every check. When he has the puck, how many posts did he hit? We have to find a way to get him on the power play, especially when our power play goes stagnant and isn't working. You need to put him out there because 5-on-5, he scores just as many goals as all the stars in the league.
No doubt.
We need to expose him more. He is very, very good.
Yeah, no, Lafreniere had the great year, and he was their best, you know, scorer in the postseason and their most dynamic player. And that's unfortunate because he's not, I mean, listen, whatever you think of him, top overall pick, and maybe he's just coming into his own, but he wasn't there yet that's what we all hope. But I mean, he can't be the guy you leaned on in this postseason, not if you wanted to win. And
I totally agree.
I mean, and you're right about Kreider. You're right. Kreider's great in front of the net. He doesn't really provide anything else. And maybe penalty kill, I'll give you that. But, yeah, I mean, he does nothing to help you 5-on-5.
6-2-205.
Yeah.
Finish the check.
Yeah.
Finish the check.
Yeah.
Get in the corner and hit somebody. Finish the check. I just want to finish, if I may. I spoke to you 3 months ago, and all I wanted to do was thank God for the Yankees, and I'm going to continue doing so because that's the only thing getting me through. People are asking me if I'm going to watch the Stanley Cup. No, I'm going to watch the Yankees.
There you go.
Came back from San Diego. I love this team. Can't get enough. Chris, you have a great night.
The Yankees, you got it, buddy. The Yankees are great. And that's why I like, we're different. Sean got Marash got on me, although I don't know. I guess he left Twitter for a while. I don't know. But after game five and the Rangers loss, when Soto comes through with the, you know, big bases-clearing triple, I still tweet about it because, yeah, this Yankee team is too much fun and too good to, and it helped me in that moment recover from my Ranger anguish. And there's, I mean, listen, it's not going to be easy. There are, I mean, you can't get rid of Panarin. It's not that I want to, what I'm saying, like, when I think of, like, tweaking it, and that's really just the two things. I mean, there's tweaking it, there's major changes. And for me, I can't look at this team and say, hey, I have a Stanley Cup winning core. I just need to surround it with better pieces. Like, that's tweaking. That's tweaking. Right now, major changes might not be get rid of everyone or blow it up necessarily, but it's got to be something where I no longer have the same three, you know, players or four players, core players that I need to have play well, because this group has proven, it's proven that they cannot play well in these big moments. And the way the game is played is not good. It's just they don't play it the way they'll need to. This is like, you know, football. I'm comparing a lot to baseball because I know what people are going to say. Well, Chris, you're much more lenient on the Yankee core. And you don't, you know, say, oh, the Yankees need these major changes after. Well, one, I did after last year, certainly. And even after getting swept in the ALCS a few years ago, I said they need some changes. But no, I still, baseball's a little bit different where the game isn't played necessarily different. You need to hit good pitching, which the Yankees have proved over the last few weeks they can, right now at least. But in the big moment, you have to hit big pitching. But the strategy of the game, the way they play, it's not like, oh, you don't go into it and go, well, listen, the way Houston, you know, plays them is something the Yankees are going to have to. No, the Yankees are going to have to hit. It's the most individualized professional team sport there is. The hitter needs to hit. That's it. Judge doesn't hit, they don't win. If they play in a series tomorrow, if Soto and Judge don't hit, they're probably not going to win. But it's not the style of game. I know Judge is a good hitter, and eventually he'll get hot in the playoffs, or he won't, and it'll be what it is. Same thing with Soto, but it's not like, hey, he doesn't play the right brand of baseball to win in the postseason. Football teams can be like that. You can get high-octane football teams right now. I think the Miami Dolphins are one of them. The Miami Dolphins have a quarterback where if everything's right in the good weather, and they're able to, you know, play a defense that allows them to, you know, work their timing offense, which is so reliant on timing, getting the ball out quick and getting it to their speedy wide receivers and all that. Like, the Dolphins can be great on any given day. But for the most part, in my opinion, when they're going to get, if they're going to have to go into a cold weather city or they're going to go play on one of the better teams in the NFL on the road, I don't think that's a team that really has a very good chance to win a Super Bowl. That's how the Rangers are right now. There's a physicality, there's a level of, and a style of play that it is being proven now. You need, and the Rangers have needed to get through this Eastern Conference playoffs, and they don't have it. They don't have it. And Kreider doesn't provide anything 5-on-5. And Zibanejad, who had a down year for him, had a great first round against the Washington Capitals, and then didn't really show up. And certainly didn't do anything in this series, having, you know, 1 point. This isn't just They need these guys to be at their best, and it seems like it's not just a slump. It's not just, hey, they didn't play well in this series. It seems like there is a way to attack this group where they're incapable of playing better. This isn't just, hey, Panarin went cold, or, you know, they just weren't playing their best hockey at the best time. They had won 7 straight games to start the playoffs. They came off of a Game 6 heroics and all the momentum leading into this Florida series. This isn't just a team that wasn't playing right at the right time. This isn't a team that was just slumping. It's not a core of players that just didn't play well. There is a level of play that happens come postseason time that they're not capable of raising their game to. There is a style of play that happens in these hard-fought, tight games in the playoffs that they aren't good enough to win in that environment. That is a different thing than just, hey, they didn't play well. And I think in different, you know, sports and different things, you can get to that, you know, but these 7-game series, like, it's beyond not playing well. It's there is a way to attack you where you can't overcome. And we have seen it now for multiple years. They win the first 2 games of that Tampa Bay series, and then there was a level of play taken to them by Tampa Bay, and they couldn't overcome. They win the first 2 games against the Devils series, and the Devils scoring a ton of goals. And then it gets harder, and the Devils play their style of defense, and they couldn't overcome. And now in this Florida series, despite getting games 2 and 3 in overtime, the last 3 games, the Panthers raised their game, dominated the third period of every single game, other than maybe this game 6, but it was even at best, but dominated the third period the entire series and brought a level of play that the Rangers stars not had a bad week, not are injured, not are struggling right now, not just aren't capable of getting to. I don't know how else to see it. I'm not sure I can be convinced otherwise. These players, as presently constituted, without another impact player coming in and changing the dynamic, this team and their superstars cannot reach the level needed to win these playoff series. Don't have it in them. Not let's see what happens next year. I've seen enough. They don't have it. How do you change that? For me, once I know, and that's why I say major changes, and I'll be the first to admit, it's difficult to trade these players. It's difficult to move on from them, from their contracts. And still, there are 120-point players, as the last caller mentioned, and very talented players who help you win enough games to get to the postseason, which, by the way, I know in today's day and age we don't care, and in hockey half the teams make it, but still is pretty damn important. You have to win the games to get there. But the major changes need to come in somehow getting a team that has a star, 2 stars, something, where they're able to raise their game to the level needed. Because as much hope as I had, and as much I was screaming, I believed, and I did. And I had hoped it would be different. It wasn't. And it played out right in front of my face. I don't know how else to look at it. And when you feel like you have a core, and you have stars that you believe in all regular season, drag you to the best record in all of the NHL, and you have this wonderful regular season, it's this great thing, and you start the playoffs off 7 wins in a row, and you're playing your best hockey, and your goalie is playing his best hockey. There's no excuse. The stars on this team are incapable. And when you figure that out, you have to make dynamic changes at some level. Because I don't know what else to do. I can't just, oh, well, you know, we'll give that line a better winger. You know, we'll figure something. We'll get, you know, a slightly better player. We'll get someone maybe with a proven track record, or, you know, someone who's won a cup. Okay, he better be a dynamic player, because you're going to need him, because this group won't do it for you. And not just because they didn't play well, because they're incapable. Mitch in Brooklyn. What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, how are you? I listen to you every night.
Oh, thank
with
you.
With my speaker under my pillow. So, but I just had to respond to the Rangers. A couple of your callers started to touch on it, and you've been kind of saying, you know, well, what do we do? You know, what kind of style? What kind of... Well, my take on it is this: if you watched how Florida checked, they just didn't check in the corners; they checked mid ice. Mm-hmm. You have the puck. They didn't play the puck. They played the man.
Right.
They took you off the puck. And it would happen everywhere in every place on the ice. There were a couple of moments throughout the series where the Rangers finished checks everywhere. And they actually started to penetrate. And they had some really good moments. But they could not sustain it. And so you're asking, well, they have to get players. Well, the Rangers have a high skill level, but they don't have the physical toughness to sustain a whole game, a whole season, playing that kind of physical game. They don't have to do it the whole every time to every team.
Right.
And I'm real curious to see how Edmonton, who is bigger and faster in certain ways, they have some very strong players.
Yeah.
You know, McDavid and Dreisaitl and so on. How their style of playing, if you watch that series, they didn't play like Florida. They played like the Rangers would be playing. The Rangers played one of those two teams, they beat them because they don't play that kind of physical style. They play a finesse game with skill
mm-hmm.
and speed. And Florida plays, I'm going to take you off the puck. You've got more skill than I do, but that right. doesn't matter because I'm going to take you off the puck.
Right.
And that's really kind of the game that Florida plays, and Carolina has a quality of that as
yes.
well. And so my take on it is, and I heard an interview with Lafreniere, why he had such a better season, and he will even have a better season because he could have scored 35 goals if he was on a power play this season. He got big, stronger. He worked out over the summer,
right.
got much stronger, and can play a physical game. Can the Rangers go back into the weight room and start building some more muscle and finish their checks and knock them off the puck? Because what happens is when you are playing that kind of game, the player who has the puck is looking to get hit. And so they have to look up to make sure they deal with that check instead of just, you know, waiting for a stick to, you know, beat your stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the game right there. And Florida, they traded for Tkachuk, because he plays that kind of game
right.
this season, they came out because they knew what they needed to do when they didn't make it to, you know, they didn't win the cup last year against right. Vegas, because Vegas could play that game.
Plays that game, yeah. No, Vegas is
right.
Vegas plays that take of the puck type of game. Look, I understand that. I understand. And, yeah, I mean, I can't build this team again in the same image that I built this year's team, and then hope they don't face a team that's as good at that kind of game as Florida. I can't just hope I avoid a team like the Vegas Knights or the Florida Panthers or even the Carolina Hurricanes. I can't just hope that I avoid that. I can't hope I play another, you know, talented team and we can go at it talent for talent because I like my talent better. I can't build it like that anymore. Now, I understand what you're saying, and we saw it. They had zero time with the puck. Zero time. You have to be able to be adaptable and figure out how to play the Panthers and not let them dictate the way you play. And I'm sorry. I understand. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm not a hockey analyst. I never played the game professionally. I can't tell you all the ins and outs of hockey, but you can't tell me there aren't teams talented enough to overcome this style of play with talent and speed. And, I mean, it's never happened before. So the Florida Panthers are going to walk through this next series, and Edmonton's not going to give them a game. Like, the Panthers play the only style of hockey that's successful in the postseason. You can't be talented. You can't be fast. You can't be, you know, you can't rely on speed and and creativity and play that kind of hockey and win anymore? Why did they allow the Panthers to take it to them? Like, I people say it like as if it's just, well, listen, they play the kind of hockey that, you know, what are you going to do? Well, how about take your style of hockey and ram it down their throat? Not possible? Not with Panarin and Zibanejad, it's not. That's what we found out. But I refuse to believe that, you know, the Panthers play the only style of hockey that can be successful in the postseason. And that, hey, what are you going to do? They take you off the puck, and they need to get stronger. Like, they won more games than anyone. They had more points than anyone. Take New York Rangers hockey and shove it down the Panthers' throat instead of the other way around. And so I'm not satisfied with just saying, hey, the Panthers play that, you know, it's just, what are you going to do? I mean, they take off the puck, they're not strong enough, blah, blah, you know. No. Figure out a way to use your strengths and score some freaking goals. They're incapable. They can't do it. They can't rise to the level. They can't. They're not good enough to take their style of play and make that the defining force of the series. The series was dictated by how Florida played. No matter how you cut it. How Florida plays the game is what dictated how that series went. And there are multiple ways to win hockey games. There are multiple ways to win anything. Anything. So, I mean, whether it's they need to change their style of play or whether it's the players who play the game right now aren't tough enough to force their style of play down the throat of the other team. That's it. The style of play the Rangers play is either wrong for the postseason or the players performing it are good enough to win in the regular season, but when it comes down to a 7-game series against this big, strong team, they're incapable of raising their level of play past the other team's style. I mean, either way, it's a product that isn't good enough to win a Stanley Cup. Either the style of play needs to change or the players running it need to change. One or the other. And if you change the style of play, do they have the players capable of playing that kind of play? Like, it's easy to say they're close and they're very talented, and they were. They're 2 games away. They're 2 wins away from getting to the Stanley Cup Finals. But ultimately, when you look at it and you look at this core of players and you say to yourself, well, if they need to change the style of play, are they capable of it? And then, are they good enough to take their style of play and force the action? And they're not. They're not. Christian in Kings Park. What's up, Christian?
Hey, I just have a quick question for you. Do you think that Laviolette is the person that would be able to kind of change your style of play? Like, how much like belief do you have in him as a head coach of the Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of faith in him. He came over here. He made them better than they were. He changed.
I mean, his track record of success. So,
well, his track record of success is what you're talking about. Like, he's been with a bunch of different organizations. He made the playoffs with a lot of them. I know he's only won one Stanley Cup, and he hasn't gotten through some of the playoffs since. But he can go to a team and adapt. He's not one of these, you know, program coaches or, you know, style coaches where he has, and thank you for the call, we're up against the break. He's not a coach who comes in with his way of doing things and that's it. He can adapt to teams. He's been all over. He's a guy who's coached a million different teams and a million different styles. I think he's capable of, I don't think he's the problem. I don't think you're going to move on from him after 1 year after winning the President's Trophy. I think he came in and did a lot for the team. Now, is he at fault as well in this series? Absolutely. He takes as much blame as anybody. He's the head coach of the team. Playing, you know, starting players and dressing players you don't want to play is a problem for me. Maybe too much of switching up the lines over the last 3 games, because I know he's trying to find something. I don't blame him, but maybe it didn't help. Maybe it was they were better off being a little bit more consistent. I don't know. But what I do know is he came here and he clearly made an impact on the team and they were better. But ultimately, I put this on the players because I watched the game and I watched every loose puck go to the Panthers. I watched, you know, every hit, all the back-checking, the forechecking, all of it, much better for the Panthers. And I watched Panarin and Zibanejad barely in, you know, like they weren't even out there. Like, that's on them. That's on them. So I think he's adaptable to any style. I think that's the kind of coach he is. But he's not, you know, blameless here. Everybody gets blamed for this. And it is a failure. Like, I want to make sure everybody understands this. Like, this season's a failure. This was supposed to be the year. They have the best goalie in the league playing like the best goalie in the league. They scored the most points in the entire league. They were the President Trophy winner. They had home ice. There's only one acceptable outcome to the end of the season. Anything else was a failure. And losing three straight games to the Panthers after being up 2-1 and mustering no offense whatsoever and having your best players be no-shows, this is a failure. There is no, it's very difficult to look back on this year and go, wow, what a great year. It's extremely difficult for me. It's a failure. And they need to figure out how to be better. And I don't know if the core of this team is capable of it. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 1 hour down, two more to go. We'll get to the baseball, Aaron. Hang in. We're going to take your calls on the Yankees, on the Mets. Still on the Rangers, obviously. But we'll get to the Mets and their 10-game homestand. Everything that went with it, which is a lot. And then, of course, the New York Yankees have the two best hitters in all of baseball hitting 2 and 3. They come from behind. They blow you out. They hit home runs. They hit triples. They do whatever it takes. The New York Yankees are the best team in baseball. Let me say that one more time. The New York Yankees are the best team in baseball.